The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, this week is weaning week. But how do you know if your child is ready, your baby really, rather than child, isn't it, is ready to start weaning? And how can you best support them as they do? We're joined now by Alwyn Moore, a neurodevelopment therapist and founder of Cogni Kids. Alwyn, it's been a while since I've weaned a child, let me tell you. But I do remember going back and you know, I tried to get as close as I could to 6 months and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I had a couple of bruisers of children that were starving. And I did think I might have gone a little bit short of 6 months on them. But I do remember starting one of the babies, I think my first one, onto, you know, the little tiny spoonfuls of, I think at the time it was baby rice.
Rice, yeah.
The plainest little food. And, getting as much all over the face and all over the front as I got into the mouth. And I did that, you know, a few spoonfuls three times a day that first day and thinking, oh, I'm brilliant. I've done that now.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it dawned on me that I actually had to keep doing it every day after that as well, which I hadn't really thought of. And indeed, for the rest of their life, that child is now 26 years old, and I made him his dinner yesterday. So so it never stops. But it is, it's a daunting thing.
It is. Oh my gosh, it really is. And, you know, it's really understandable that parents get quite anxious about, you know, like introducing solid foods. And there's so many, I suppose, kind of sources of conflicting advice now as well. And, you know, kind of all you have to do is just scroll Instagram and, you know, you become completely overwhelmed. It's like, which is the best way? Do I do baby led? Do I do spoon fed? Do I do a combination? You know, how do I know what is going to work
best?
Explain
for people in case they don't know. What does baby led mean?
Baby led is where you give them kind of like, you know, like a stick of broccoli or a piece of carrot or something that has been cooked, definitely cooked and soft and smushy. So soft enough that you can smush between your thumb and your forefinger. So it acts, mimics their gums. And it's where you allow them to self feed. And, you know, you're kind of guided by when they finish, then that means that they know that they're kind of full and satisfied.
And would you start something like that, like little bits of veggies and things ahead of that very thin
ricey
stuff that you put on a spoon? When I say spoon, I use the term like, you know, a little tiny plastic stick.
Yeah, yeah. I know, it's almost a flash.
Would you say, because I, as I recall back in my day, it was like you went with the most plainest, basicest type of food first.
Yeah, so that there wouldn't be refusal, essentially. Yeah, and it's supposed to be because you then dilute it with the milk so that they're used to that flavour, that stepping stone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now, again, times have moved on. So the, you know, the advice is different, and it is about introducing kind of foods that are nourishing and that do provide nutrients more so than, say, kind of a rice. But, you know, I mean, you can supplement things with the rice, but ideally, actually, for oral motor input. And it's really important because, believe it or not, in this day and age, there is actually delays in oral motor planning and input.
So stuff they put in their own mouth has a value.
It's textured. They're chomping, they're chewing, they're using their gums
and
so on.
Mums and dads will probably know this because before they even start weaning, they're putting everything in their own mouth that comes to hand already. That's why you're not giving them small things that are too small.
Yeah.
So obviously there's an instinct there to put stuff in their own mouth.
There is. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it pre kind of feeding would be a lot to do with like self-soothing and exploration. So they're exploring their world around them and it gives them the biggest feedback, I suppose, as well. You know, there's huge kind of sensory feedback.
So baby led, then we're moving down that road. How do you know if your baby has had enough food when they're weaning?
Well, that's a great question, because sometimes they can just be a little bit, you know, it's kind of like, I'm just going to take a break. Maybe I'm, you know, kind of like my jaw's a little bit tired from chewing.
You just reminded me of how it could take hours to get them to eat anything, and you'd just be like losing the will to live. But
the
anyway,
flashbacks, I know.
It's
I
traumatic.
Hear you. I hear you. Yeah, exactly. So look, at the ideal actually that I love to suggest to parents, because they do panic about when they are self-feeding, are they getting enough? So what I always love to say is that it's actually ideal if you do a combination. So you do a little bit of puree and give them the vegetable. So a bit of broccoli, if you're steaming the broccoli anyway, you can then just blitz a little bit of it and give them that puree so that then either they can use it and self-feed on a spoon themselves, or you can spoon it in. So, you know that they've got a little bit of that
I'm
as
just,
well.
As you say, giving them the broccoli, I'm thinking of my grown young adult children, none of whom are overly fans of broccoli. Is it important that you introduce a wide variety of food when they are young, when they are at that like baby stage, in order to give them a wider variety of tastes on their palate as they grow?
Yeah. So 17 tastes before a food is accepted. And that's kind of like standard.
I've heard 20
and 22 and 25.
But basically.
Basically, I love to say it's kind of like 17, because if you can stick it for 17, then even if it is kind of the 20, it's still manageable.
I have huge sympathy for new parents. This is so hard.
Yeah. And they are going to do that face, kind of like that, it's more kind of they're processing and they're like, I don't know, what am I eating? I've never had this taste before and so on. So
don't give up the first time they spit
Definitely
not.
No.
What about avoiding certain things? People talk about eggs, peanuts.
And the allergens.
Exactly, the allergens.
Yeah, definitely when you're starting kind of introduction to solid foods, stay away from, anything that could cause an allergic reaction. So if there are allergens in the family as well, then obviously avoid those because there's a higher likelihood of it. And then, kind of introduce food, have them well on the way to weaning and being, kind of a month, 6 weeks in, where they're actually now used to kind of eating, small amounts, 3 meals a day. But then when you do start to introduce the allergens, definitely do it before one, but also only one food per day or 2 days. So give them, say, the egg and then see how they get on. Leave it for a day and then, before you want to introduce another allergen.
Is there any special advice about babies who are premature, babies who are born a little bit preemie?
Being the mom of two super preemies, nothing in particular, just, kind of definitely talk to your doctor about, should we wait for adjusted age and so on. So there is that issue about the age adjusted. But generally they will still say 6 months of age, and then they're good to go, depending on, did they need food tube feeding and so on. So it depends on the kind of the complexity.
Ruth is with me on the stress and bringing me right back. She says, you're bringing back the bad, mad memories here. When I was weaning my first, I had every implement I owned, blenders, Nutribullets, Maggi mixes out trying to blend carrots and sweet potatoes. The kitchen looked like I cooked a 10-course meal. My husband waltzed in from work and said, could you not just have used a fork? I could have killed him. The stress of those days. It actually is bringing me back to the stress, because you worry the whole time. Maybe lastly,
especially on baby one.
I am aware of the stress. I am aware of the pressure on new mums and dads, and they're trying to get this right. It's okay to sometimes use the little packets you buy in the supermarket and the little jars and the little everythings, as opposed to trying to cook gourmet things that have no flavour. They take all the salt and seasoning out, but still, cook them. It's okay not to be cooking every single morning. I'm probably going to get killed on the text line now, but I'm just thinking of the pressure. It's okay to get the little sachets and the little pouches and packets and stuff too, isn't it?
They are okay. They're not ideal, but they are okay.
But
every so often.
You can use them sometimes, can't you?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. And they're great to have in the bag if you're going out or, things like that. And it's really what works for your lifestyle, but just be aware of what is the nutritional content in them. So some of them, have like a lot of sugar, even though they say they don't. I do know that.
There was a lot of times I'd go, I know this is bad, but I'm just going to mush a banana into a petit filou. And we're going,
whoa, full on sugar there.
And we're going for it. But anyway, luckily they all survived and they're all fine-ish or whatever. I hope you're not listening, kids. But anyway, thank you so much. I do appreciate it, Alwyn. Some really good advice there. That is Alwyn Moore, their neurodevelopment therapist and founder of Cogni Kids.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.